I can't get out of this 133rd Psalm. I just can't get it out of my spirit. We're going to be looking at several scriptures today, and if you came and did not bring a Bible, if you'll lift your hand, one of the ushers will bring one to you. If you're here today and don't have a Bible, if you don't own a Bible, you take one of these with you as our gift. The 133rd Psalm is a psalm about the beauty of unity in the body of Christ. The Lord's been talking to us in recent weeks about this subject, and I just feel impressed to minister on it once again today, but perhaps from a little different aspect. We know that unity in the body of Christ brings power. In fact, we know that unity in any endeavor, whether it's in the body of Christ or not, brings power. And we'll not take the time to reference this, but if you want to read it for yourself, go to the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis and read the story about the Tower of Babel. And read what God says about the power of unity. That when people are together, when they are united as one, that nothing can be withheld from them. There is no power greater than the power of unity. And it was because of that that God came down and confounded the languages of the people in order to break up that unity, because they were united in an evil work. So we know that there's great power in unity among a multitude of people. We know there's also great strength. For in the book of Ecclesiastes, we're told that while you can break one stick very easily, if you put two sticks together, they're very difficult to break. And Solomon went on to say that a cord that has three strands in it, a threefold cord, is not easily broken. So there's great strength in unity. But today, I think we know those things, but today I'm impressed to speak to you about the blessings of unity. We are participating right now, this very moment. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but we are participating in the blessings of unity. What's going on in our church is a result of the unity that is developing among us. I don't know how many of you realize this, but we're in the midst of a miracle of God. God is doing a supernatural miracle work in our body. And it is just as miraculous as if He was raising cripples from wheelchairs. Some of us perhaps don't see it quite as clearly as others. I see it so clearly that I can hardly speak of it, because it is such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. The 133rd Psalm tells us about what I'm speaking this morning and gives us some insight into it. Last week, after our service last week, wasn't it just a wonderful service? And Michael brought us just a marvelous message from the Word of God, and there was a great flow of the Spirit of God and His love in the place all through the service. And a brother came up to me after the service, and we were just standing here embracing, and I heard come out of my mouth these words. Do you understand what I mean when I say I heard come out of my mouth? Because they didn't come out of my thoughts. They just came out of my mouth. I said, "Brother, it looks like we're going to be a church again." We haven't really been in a while. That's my perception. Some of you may not agree with that, but that's my perception. But I'm rejoicing, because I believe we're going to be a church again. And when I say that, what I mean is not to demean anything that has occurred here in recent years, but simply to encourage us that we're going to become more closely aligned to what I believe God has called His church to be. And I'm rejoicing in my heart because of that. Psalm 133, verse number 1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." We talked about 6 weeks ago about the importance of having unity to walk together. That if two or more are going to walk together, if they're going to engage in a work together, that there must be a point of agreement whereby they can agree how they're going to walk and where they're going to walk and so on and so forth. This psalm talks more about dwelling than walking. This psalm talks about living together. This psalm talks, the word actually that is translated here, dwell, is the word that could also be translated sit down. And the psalmist is saying, isn't it a lovely thing when people are able to sit down together and rest in their spirit, in a spirit of unity and harmony? Isn't it beautiful when people have such confidence in one another? Isn't it beautiful when people have a love for one another? Isn't it a lovely thing when people trust one another to such a degree that they can sit down together and rest? Not be fidgeting because of all of the undercurrents. You know what I mean when I say undercurrents? All the intrigues. Oh, I wonder what she's thinking. I wonder what he's thinking. I see the expression on the face and immediately I want to write a book about what that expression means. Isn't it pleasant to have such a trust in the brethren, in the sisters? Isn't it wonderful to feel secure in that confidence that you're loved, that you're accepted? Isn't it pleasant to sit down among people whom you love and they know, you know you love them, and while you may not understand everything the same, there's a confident security that comes from trusting one another. And the scripture says that it is a good thing. It is a sweet, the word pleasant means sweet. I tell you, in the past few weeks, beloved, I can almost taste it. There's a sweetness to it. It's not a physical sweetness, but I can taste it in my spirit. The pleasantness, the sweetness. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's been a long time since we've had services like we've had in the last several weeks. It's been a long time since we've had offerings like we had a week ago. Do you turn your bulletin over and look at the back of it if you haven't already? I can tell you, for me personally, it's been a long time since I've sung in the shower. You say hallelujah because you don't live in the same house. It's been a long time since driving down the highway I find myself singing the songs that we sang last Sunday in church. It's been a long time since we've come together as an elder board where we really wanted to come together and have a meeting. And weren't there because we were obligated to be there. Is that right? Four men last Monday night gathered upstairs and had a board meeting, and standing in that upper room, four men began to sing. I think it sounded like 10,000 angels in that place. 10,000. Behold, how sweet, how pleasant it is for brethren to sit down together in unity. The word unity here means as one, means like one. You would be amazed if you could sit in on those meetings and watch how God is speaking to us and how He's giving us wisdom and how He's giving us direction and how He's showing us how to do things. Verse 2 says that it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now, I'm talking today primarily about the blessedness of unity in the body of Christ and in a local church. But you know, these principles also work in our homes. They work in our places of employment. They work in any kind of human relationship or human endeavor. Unity, togetherness, agreement. will produce the blessings of God in a way that disunity and wrangling and harassment and so on will not produce, never can produce, ever. This verse tells us that the blessings of unity are in part like the oil, the anointing oil, that they used to pour over Aaron's head, the priest of God. And when they poured it over his head, it was symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And the anointing was so effusive, as it were, so magnificent, so enlarged, that it didn't just make a spot on the top of his head. It flowed down over his head, over his face. It flowed down onto his garments. And there was so much of this anointing flowing that it flowed all the way down his garments and reached all the way to the skirt of the robe that he wore. This is not just a little dab of anointing. This is a flow of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand the difference? When brethren dwell together in unity and in harmony and as one, it releases in a way that I do not understand, but it releases the anointing of God's Spirit. In Ephesians, we're told that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know anybody to better grieve the Holy Ghost than to be at odds with another person. Hold your finger there at Psalm 133 and turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 30th chapter. And I want to look at several things here that are part of the blessings of unity. In Exodus 30, the 22nd through the 25th verse are God's instructions to Moses about how to compound this holy anointing oil that he would use to anoint the priests as well as the elements of worship. In verse 26, I want to begin to read. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all his vessels, and the laver with his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them. And here's one of the blessings of unity. That they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them. shall be holy. Does that speak to you? It speaks to me. It says to me that, let me just take our church right here, this little part of the body of Jesus Christ. If we are willing to sit down in unity here, the anointing of God will flow among us in such a way that when people come in to be among us, they will be touched by it. It has a sanctifying effect on all of those that are part and all of those that come to be a part. I don't know how many times I have heard it said. I've heard it said just in recent weeks that the thing that drew people to this local body in years past, hopefully in recent years as well, was that they felt something tangible when they walked in the place. They felt a love. Whose love? God's love. Why? Because the people loved each other. When the anointing of God is flowing among a body, there is a tangible expression of the love of God that you can feel. You don't know what it is, but it feels good. Why? Because it's good and pleasant. when the brethren dwell together in unity. When I read this verse this week, and thou shalt sanctify them, the oil of the Lord. See, we don't go out and mix up all these ingredients, these myrrh and cinnamon and calamus and cassia and all of that. We don't do all of that, put olive oil in it and mix it all up and then just pour it over people. We don't do that. The anointing that comes, the anointing oil, is the oil of the Holy Ghost. And as we have that flowing in our ministry together, it will have the same effect that God said the anointing oil had under the old covenant. Does that speak to you? The oil will set them apart. That's what it means to sanctify. It doesn't mean to make you perfect, but it means to set you apart from the world. It means to make us different. And the word says that when these priests are consecrated, when the things of God are consecrated, when the ministry items are consecrated, that they become holy and whatever touches them becomes holy. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that kind of influence in my life. I want to be able to touch somebody for Jesus. I want our church to touch people for Jesus. I want people who come in contact with this ministry to be changed. I want them to be delivered from the things that hold them in bondage. I want them to be set free from those things that keep them held and bound. The only thing that will do that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the only way the anointing of the Holy Spirit will rest on this ministry, or any ministry, is when the people of God who are part of it will dwell together in unity. And so the first blessing, I have 25 of these, by the way. The first blessing, but I'm only going to share a few. The first blessing that comes from unity is holiness. Holiness in the people, and holiness in everything and everyone we touch. Now, the second thing that happens when God's people are united, the second blessing, is in the next verse, verse 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, what made them acceptable and successful in their priestly ministry? The anointing oil. God said, when you pour this anointing oil over them, they will become consecrated, dedicated unto me, and they will then be able to minister to me in the priest's office. Now, what did the priests do? They brought the sacrifices of the people to God. We ought to expect, one of the things that we ought to expect in our ministry is as we find deeper levels of unity together, we ought to find deeper expressions of worship. Because isn't that what priests do today? Priests bring the sacrifices to God. Now, we don't bring the lamb's shoulder anymore. What do we bring? We bring the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13 says, the sacrifices of praise, which are the fruit of our lips. We ought to see, I think we are already seeing that. A change. Do you not sense a change in our worship? Just in the last few weeks? What do you attribute that to? Did we change piano players? No. Did we change the worship leaders? Did we change the congregation? What happened? Did we have a school and we just got some better training? What happened? The oil. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. There is a blessing to be obtained when we're in unity. Turn with me now, please, to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's read here one verse, the 11th. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, that means be grown up, be mature, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. I don't know about you, but I can tell you what the most precious thing to me in this life is. It is the presence of God. I can live without anything else, but I cannot live without the presence of God. I must have the presence of God. It is more essential to me than food. The presence of God. I'm not talking about the intellectual understanding that God is everywhere. I'm talking about the living presence of the living God right here where I am. The presence of God. And I can tell you the quickest way to send God on a fast trip elsewhere. And that is to get at odds with one another. That is the fastest way to grieve the Spirit of God. That is the fastest way to send the Holy Ghost packing. And the quickest way I know to welcome Him is to be, as Paul said, of one mind. Live in peace. Be together. Be like one. The word unity means oneness. It's from a root word that means to become one. Out of two, one. Out of many, one. Paul said, if you will do that, if you will pay the price to become like that, then the God of love and the God of peace shall be with you. I can tell you this. If our church and its ministry is based upon anything other than the presence of God, it will be based on those things which are nothing more than filthy rags. If we have skilled paid musicians over here, I'm talking about symphony concert performers, but have not the presence of God, if we have preaching that draws the thousands, because of oratory, because of funny stories, because of anything other than the presence of Almighty God, if we have an auditorium that is state-of-the-art sound, wouldn't that be nice? State-of-the-art decorated, but has not the presence of God. If we have a tram that runs from the door to the parking lot to keep people from getting wet when they come, but have not the presence of God, we'll have nothing. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't think you do either. But if we have a hole in the wall, bare floors, no heat, no air conditioning, no anything, gravel parking lot or no parking lot, we park on the grass, and we have the presence of God, I'll be there. So let's be sure that the thing that we do before we do anything else is dwell together in unity. See, it pays. It will bring holiness to the people. It will bring holy touch to those who come in contact with the ministry. It will bring a success in ministry, a consecration to the ministry that God has called us to. It will bring the presence of God, without which nothing is going to happen. And it will bring, fourthly,
not lastly, but fourthly, it will bring souls into the kingdom. Acts chapter 2. What are we doing this for anyway? Do we want to see sinners saved? Do we want to see lost people converted? Do we want to see the citizenry of the kingdom of heaven increased? It will not happen where Christians cannot agree on enough to sit down together in unity. See, God's not going to export that. No person in his right mind is going to want any of it anyway. Acts 2 and verse 46. And they, that is the New Testament disciples, this is right after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, and they continuing daily, how? With one accord. What does that mean? That means in unity together, one accord, having one mind. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat or their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And what did the Lord do? He added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to see people saved. When I say see, I mean I want this ministry to have an active part in increasing the kingdom of God. I'm not interested, beloved, in filling these seats. Now, I think this is a good ministry here. I think we have a good discipling ministry. I think we can take new believers and help them grow and develop. I think this would be a good place for Christians to come and plug in and be a part of a good Christian ministry. But I'm not interested in winning souls to get the seats full or the coffers full. Are you listening? I mean that. I mean, my name is Rock Hill. If they come here and get saved and go down to Praise Mill and worship God at Praise Mill, I'd be completely satisfied with that. I really would. I have not the first problem with that. None of our elders do. I don't think you do either. But I believe if we're doing a work, winning souls to the kingdom of God, I believe some of them are going to want to stay here. And they're going to want to plug in, and they're going to want to learn, and they're going to want to grow, and they're going to want to sing, and they're going to want to play, and they're going to want to usher, and they're going to want to teach when they become discipled and developed. They're going to want to participate in the ministry with us and help bring others. But that only begins when God's people are united with one accord. Wouldn't it be nice? We could have a church like they had in the New Testament. Well, let's do the part that we can do, and then maybe we'll have that. Now turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm amazed, this would make another message, but I'm amazed at how God has, his plan has always been oneness. There's one body, there's one flock, there's one God, there's one Savior, there's one baptism, that is one baptism into Christ. In Ephesians, the first chapter, perhaps you'll look at that with me for just a moment, verse 10, says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. God's going to bring everything into unity. There's coming a day when everything that's in heaven and in earth will come together as one. God's idea was for one family. After all, he created everybody in the earth out of one blood. One blood. God has always had oneness, unity as his objective. Isn't it a shame that it's so hard for us to get it in the church? My heart is leaping with joy I tell you, these last 6 weeks have been... I feel it. I said to God when we were wrestling here and kind of struggling and you know, what are you going to do and so on and so forth. I said, oh God, you have got to show me in such a way that I know 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 that you have done a work. And he has. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, this entire fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians has to do with the unity of the body. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse number 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And then verse number 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let me draw your attention to the third verse and we'll close here. Paul said that we ought to live endeavoring to keep the unity. Now, if we are to endeavor to keep, the word keep means to preserve. Unity is not something that happens to you like birth and you do nothing more about it. Unity is something that you must work at. It's something that you must stay after all the time, for we have an enemy, and do you know what he wants to do? He wants to divide. Exactly right. He'll do anything he can to divide, because you know what happens when he divides. He can rob us of the blessings of God. So we must endeavor. The word endeavor means to work, to put forth an effort. It means that when we hear talk that is divisive and disruptive, that we need to put it down. We need to, first of all, not listen to it, and secondly, we need to speak to that person in Christian love. Don't you understand what you're saying? Don't you realize what you're doing? We need to work at preserving. We want to be sure that we do not become part of a problem, and we want to help those who perhaps do not understand that they are delivered from being a part of that problem. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I told you that that would be our closing scripture, but let's go back to 133, Psalm 133, and let's close with that. How many of you know that you can feel unity, and you can also feel strife and division? You can feel it. It's a tangible kind of, I don't even know what to call it, but it's tangible. You can feel it. That's what happens when you walk into a church and you say, gee, this feels really good. Or you walk into a church and you say, boy, this feels really crummy. I'm not ever going back there. Now let me read the entire 133rd Psalm. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, talking about the refreshing. Do you guys feel this? I mean, just refreshed. How many of you in the congregation feel this, a sense of refreshing in recent weeks? Just refreshed. It's like getting a drink of cold water. You can feel it. It's like the dew, the moisture, the refreshing that comes upon the mountains. And then the last phrase, For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God commands the blessing where His people are dwelling together in a unified way. It's not something that just happens. God sees to it that it happens. Now, I'll tell you what I'm anticipating. This is what I am anticipating. This is what I believe is going to occur as we endeavor to preserve what God has given us. I'm going to say it again. I believe that we are participating in a miracle of God. I hope that you all are experiencing this. I hope that you are all sensing this. I hope you are all sensing the excitement in your spirit from this. I pray that not one person would be left out of what God is doing. I want you to see it. I want you to feel it. I want you to become a part of it. I want you to put your foot in it. It's a miracle of God. And I expect, this is what I expect. I expect us to increase in holiness. And I expect those who come in contact with our ministry to be touched by that. I expect us to have an increasing success in our ministry, especially in the area of our worship. I expect to see souls brought into the kingdom of God through this ministry. Perhaps at this altar, perhaps in your homes, perhaps at your place of business, perhaps on a street corner, I don't know where. But I know through this ministry, I'm expecting souls to be brought into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Let me have you to stand to your feet, please. And my spirit is just overflowing with joy. It's just overflowing. I have the kind of a feel, I haven't had this in a long time, but I have the kind of a feel today that if you needed something from God, that you could get it today. If you needed God to touch you in a special way, I know you can get it today. I know. I knew it when we took the platform up here, Michael, James. I knew it right then. That's why I was dancing. I knew God is here to touch His people, to bless His people. I know it. Amen. What I want to do here today, Sally, is the first thing I want to do is I want to sing 159. There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.